D-Maze Fingen and Donick 102.5, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingen, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena as the Nashville Predators open a five-game homestand against the Anaheim Ducks. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, as always, right here on 102.5 The Game. It is Star Wars night at the Predators game tonight. This may come as a shock to most, if not all of you, but I am not up on my Star Wars.
That's a shame.
I'm not really either, because there has been several iterations of Star Trek. I mean,
well, first of all, don't call Star Wars
right.
Star Trek.
You're right.
Don't
absolutely
you dare do that.
I'm about to yell
right.
at you.
Star
I'm about
Wars.
To yell at you.
There
Max,
we go.
Max Hurz already
Star,
did that this morning. And
Star
I was,
Wars, okay? Yeah. Excuse me, everyone. Star Wars. There have been so many, like, iterations and
prequels and sequels and spin-offs
and everything. So I lost
keep it.
So.
There's only three movies.
After Darth Vader died and came back to life, I stopped. That was it.
There's nothing.
Once
I
found out he was his dad, I was done.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. Spoilers, Derek Mason.
But everybody, that's only old. I mean,
I know.
Like
I 100 know.
Years old.
The three originals are the
exactly.
real movies.
Thank
everybody
you.
Knows that.
Jeez. Oh, my God. Bunch of old guys talking about this. Jesus.
Nobody's commented on my tie yet? Come on.
I like your tie.
Hold on. Let me get a closer look at this tie. Oh, it's a Star Wars tie.
I'm coming all in.
Okay, I see it.
The Force will be with me tonight. I don't know about everybody else, but the Force will be with me.
Usually, if you have the Force, you can kind of
yeah, that's
give
what
it
I'm
to
hoping.
People.
Yeah, yeah, okay, I'm hoping to give off the vibe. Yeah. Sure.
By the way, some breaking news: the location for college
of the
game
Death
day.
Star?
No,
of the
not
Star?
The location oh. of the Death Star, but the location.
The Rebel base. The Rebel
on,
base.
Okay, can I get through this,
sorry,
please?
Sorry, yes.
The location, Derek. Shush. The location for college game day on Vanderbilt's campus has been announced: the Wyatt Lawn.
I don't know who Wyatt is, but it's going to be on his lawn.
He was the chancellor.
Oh, okay.
When I was there and not super popular among
okay.
the athletes. But, okay.
Live whatever. From the Wyatt
very
lawn.
Ironic, very ironic place to have it.
That tells you that
guy could
yes.
care less
there we go.
About athletics.
Now, does the location of College Game Day on the Wyatt lawn block students from the library?
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
So
that sign will go.
That
will
sign
go.
Will be back.
Somebody's got to bring that sign
yes,
back.
Yes, please.
For those who haven't
yeah.
heard it, what is the sign
yes,
that you are referring
it's
to?
It's with a lot of punctuation and exclamation points. You people are blocking the library.
There we go.
So if you're going to Vanderbilt for College Game Day, the Wyatt Lawn is the place to be. That is where the College Game Day crew will be set up. And as I said, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I've seen a lot of the films. I'm aware of the lore of Star Wars. I do know there is a famous quote from Darth Vader, among others. There are multiple famous quotes from Darth Vader. There is one that is, "I find your lack of faith disturbing."
Yes. That's
and I can't say that about Titans fans, because I think their lack of faith is warranted in the Tennessee Titans. And mm-hmm. we know that we are going to have to monitor a coaching search sooner rather than later for the Tennessee Titans. That process is apparently underway, although we're not going to start getting the names of coaches who interviewed until the offseason probably. But Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated had an interesting report on how the Titans are planning to approach their coaching search. I have a lot of respect for Albert Breer, and I can tell that he has cultivated a lot of sources within the Titans organization. He has done a lot of good reporting on the Tennessee Titans when they drafted Cam Ward, when they fired Brian Callahan. Albert Breer has had his finger on the pulse. So when I read what he writes about the Titans, I certainly lends it a lot of credibility, is what I am trying to say. So here is part of what Albert Breer wrote about the Titans head coaching search. Quote, "The next thing Amy Adams-Strunk has to give her football people is time." Pause. That's funny. because we know that Amy Adams Strunka is not one for giving her football people time. But I digress. He writes, the Titans owner's issues have been documented over the past week. She's had to face a lot of difficult yet valid criticism. So as the organization pulls itself from the ashes of the past week and really the past 3 years and charts yet another course to turn things around, it's on Strunk to trust the people she's entrusting. Those people, as of this writing, are president of football operations, Chad Brinker, and general manager, Mike Borgonzi. Now, I know that probably upsets Derek Mason because he wants Chad Brinker nowhere near the coaching search. He wants Mike Borgonzi to lead the coaching search, but Chad Brinker himself said that he and Borgonzi will lead the search. More from Albert Breer, talking about Amy Adams Strunk. Her best move would be to stay out of it. Agreed. She primarily did in the GM search as Brinker tabbed Borgonzi, and I actually think the early returns on that hire are pretty decent, with a strong set of front office hires after the GM decision. Here's the meat of the note. That's currently the plan as I understand it. Brinker and Borgonzi will lead the coach search without a search firm. They'll lean on the group they've assembled, which includes former GMs Dave Ziegler and Reggie McKenzie, as well as a rising young exec and Dan Sagany, who I learned today is the Titans vice president of player personnel. The research to fuel it has already started. The study includes things, for example, like the track record of second-time head coaches with plus 500 records and coaches with five-plus years of play-calling experience before their hire. So Albert Breer, Willie, and Derek shedding some light on how this coaching search is starting.
Brinker being a part of it, wasn't he a part of the last coaching hire? And we see how that ended up very quickly. The paint is not even dry on what would happen, and y'all are putting him in charge of it again. I would love for Borgonzi just to do it all. Find the coach. You're the middle person between Borgonzi and Amy or whoever else. You're the middle person. Let him, because he's had this, he's seen it happen. He's been a part of it, like a real part. They credit him on a lot of things there in Kansas City. So, to me, let him head it up. Be there for support or whatever else it is, but allow him to head this up. Allow him. There's reasons why they brought McKenzie and those guys in years ago. What was it, a year or two ago?
This year, I believe.
This year. It was all preparing for all of this. That's what it was preparing for. They didn't want to hire an outside firm, probably because they didn't want to pay the money. So you go out and get experienced GMs that have been a part of winning organizations. I'm sure Brinker and Green Bay that they brought in. The other guy from Green Bay, McKenzie. There we go. I don't know why I lost it. But he and McKenzie, I'm sure they crossed paths, or he worked with McKenzie when McKenzie was in Green Bay. So they have a history. They were building. Now, if you look back at this, and maybe I'm completely wrong in all of this, this was happening behind the scenes in the making, right in front of our face. They go hire McCoy. They bring on McKenzie and all these other people. And then follows that with firing a coach. And now we're not going to use a firm. We're going to use these. And this may be the best route to go. I don't know. But this didn't just happen by chance. They set all of this in motion on how they wanted to proceed because they knew they were going to fire Brian Callahan. They knew it. Second-year head coach that bombed the first year. New quarterback. We don't know how far along he's going to come. The roster is depleted. We got to rely on young guys. Don't you think they saw this coming? So to me, let Borgonzi handle it. He with McKenzie and those guys. Be that person in the middle, you know, for Amy that goes back and is sort of this back and forth. But I wish they just let him handle it. Meaning Borgonzi.
I completely agree. I think Borgonzi should be the guy. And Brinker can help in whatever way. Everybody else who's there can help. But Borgonzi should be the guy. And I agree that the ownership should really go along, delegate, and make the hire. I completely agree.
One texter says, can you guys please explain what Chad Brinker does? Do other teams have a person who does what Brinker does? To me, in my very limited knowledge, he just seems like someone who gets in the way and muddies things. Well, I will read to you what his job description is on the Titans website. As president of football operations, Brinker provides executive leadership and direct oversight for the entire football staff, reporting directly to Titans controlling owner Amy Adams Strunk.
He's supposed to set up the infrastructure,
yeah,
which they were very much lacking in before he got there. Mm-hmm. They didn't really have an infrastructure. They just kind of had GM coach. Mm-hmm. They had scouts. They had assistant GMs, but they didn't have the modern things like analytics department, the sports science, all of the things that teams have now. So Brinker was tasked to put that together. It also helps to have somebody, especially when you fire two GMs, which they have, to have somebody that is a football person of some sort who is the liaison between the owner and the coach or the owner and somebody. Otherwise, the owner has to make the hire. Or you have to hire a search firm, right? That's it's a plush job. Yeah. It's pretty plush. You answer to the owner and that's it. And then you can kind of say, well, I got the final say over here, or he's got the final say over here. Uh-huh. And, you know, remember who brought Chad Brinker in?
Yes, Rand.
Yeah.
See where Rand is?
Yeah.
But it reminds me, and I'm comparing these two individuals based on not the whole job it entails, but just portions of it on how I sort of view it. Brinker, to me, is sort of like a Jeff Diamond. He's that guy between the GM and the owner. Now, Jeff may have had more responsibilities. Jeff, you know, he was out there more. But that was a different team back then. I think we had ingratiated ourselves to the fan base and them in return. So to see Jeff Jeff Diamond or to see Floyd out and do it was normal. So that part, I'm not sure Brinker is. But the other part being the meat and sort of like the middle person between the GM and the owner, that's sort of what Jeff was tasked to do, especially during that time. Do you agree, Willie, with he and what was going, you know, the whole Fisher, Floyd, and him being the middle person sort of kind of?
Yeah, I think that was, if I remember correctly, a byproduct of there was a dispute on who had the authority to do what between Floyd and Jeff. Mm-hmm. Floyd Reese, I think, was strongly pushing for staff changes. Mm-hmm. Jeff Fisher wanted to protect some assistant coaches on the staff. And there was a dispute on who had the final say in that. And that is a little bit of where Jeff Diamond came in.
Okay.
Then a few years later, they both kind of were like, we don't really need this guy.
Yeah.
And it was so. And unfortunately for Jeff Diamond, who was, I think, a pretty good executive.
He
came from the Vikings.
Uh-huh.
He was
the exec of the year.
He ended up being
from the Vikings.
You know, power played out of there.
Yeah.
Gary says, why would Brinker not want Borgonzi to lead the search if he's on the hot seat?
Because Brinker's not on the hot seat.
He's not on the hot seat?
No. But his seat is so cold. I mean, he wasn't mentioned in any of this, what's been going on the last year. He has been not mentioned. He has been so washed clean, it's pathetic. Unless I haven't heard. Every time his name is brought up, it's like clearly, like quickly move by. They're not in the business. He's covered. He's good. So I don't, where's this, he's on the hot seat coming from? Unless Amy changes, which she can.
You know what word comes to mind?
Well, that's what happened with Jeff Diamond.
Yeah.
Like it looked good for a while. Then all of a sudden,
bam,
he was out. With the Adams family, you never know. Am I wrong? Look at the history.
If you're just looking at the history.
It's a family-run business.
The family does what the family wants. You're not trying to, you know, cast dispersions or anything. You're just looking at the history.
Just looking at the history.
Yeah, and that's what it says.
The word that comes to mind when I think of Chad Brinker, and I do not have my bell handy, is Machiavellian.
Ding!
Are either of you familiar with the word Machiavellian?
I'm familiar with
yes.
it.
Yes.
Suggesting the principles of conduct laid down by Machiavelli. Specifically, thank you, marked by cunning, duplicity, or bad faith. Uh-huh. Now, perhaps that's a bit strong, but from afar, it feels very Game of Thrones-ish in the Titans front office. You got to do what you have to do to get ahead.
Look at Willie's face.
I didn't watch Game of Thrones, but I think there's a lot of TV series that we all have watched that have this dynamic,
yes.
right?
Succession. Yeah. How about Succession?
There you go.
Yeah.
The Godfather.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
If you want to get a little more harsh about it.
I'm not going all the way there.
I'm pretty sure Game of Thrones when is pretty
you
much.
When you have a fam,
yes.
the family. When you have the family-run business, there's a lot of stuff going on in the family.
I'm not saying you took it all the way to the meat locker, right? The cold locker. Put them in the cold locker. Hang them up. No, I'm not going.
By the way, Zach on our text line says, Willie, that your tie is legendary.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a legendary tie.
There's only one Star Wars night per season, uh-huh. so you got to bring it out.
Well, you could perhaps attend a Star Wars night on the road if the Predators are
it's
the
possible.
Visiting team.
It's possible.
Which guy? I'll save that for later when we start talking about the Predators. But okay. I got a question.
Okay.
In regards to players and Star Wars night.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated sheds some light on how the Titans will handle their coaching search. Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi will lead the search. No search firm. They'll lean on a group that includes former GMs Dave Ziegler and Reggie McKenzie, a rising young exec in Dan Sagany, who is the Titans vice president of player personnel, and more. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into this conversation coming up next. A reminder, since we are at Bridgestone Arena, that Barry Trotz, Predators GM, will join us live right here at Barrel House at 5 o'clock. We have yet to interview Barry Trotz in person this season. Both of our previous interviews were over the phone. So it will be nice to have Barry Trotz live and in living color right here at Barrel House. 615-737-1025. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Delaware tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com.
I would say this. Like, I think just knowing what I know about Brinker and Borgonzi, who will run the search, by the way, my understanding is there will not be a search firm involved in this one. My sense is that, like, they will lean towards experience. Like, I don't, and to be fair, like, the, you know, like Matt Nagy has experience, right? Like, Arthur Smith has experience. So those guys check that box too. I think McCarthy's in that mix as well. Obviously, he's got the relationship with Brinker from Green Bay. So, you know, I think like that, those guys like are sensible names. We can talk about some of the wild cards too, if you want.
So here's a couple.
Here's what I don't see them doing. I think it's either going to be a guy who's been a head coach before or an ex-player. One or the other.
That was Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated on his podcast, shedding more light on the Tennessee Titans approach to their coaching search. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Looking for someone with experience? Looking for an ex-player? Are those the boxes that should be checked? Oops, I said a banned phrase. That's okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We will excuse it today.
Okay, thank
this
you.
This week. Again, I've said what my criteria are.
And for those who did not hear this last week, why don't you quickly recap what your non-negotiables are and what your requirements are for this position if you are going to be the next Titans head coach?
He cannot come from the college ranks. That's now, my non-negotiable.
He can have college experience,
yes,
but he can't be a current college
absolutely.
Coach.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Or hasn't coached in the NFL in 5, 10 years and they all of a sudden want to come back because, you know, he was in whatever. But no, I do not want a college coach. That's my hard line drawn in the sand. Mm-mm. What I want is somebody with experience as a head coach. That's what I really want. Someone that is not necessarily a play caller on either side. He can do it if he needs to in a pinch, but he's going to delegate those priorities or those responsibilities to people that have done it and has been successful. So I don't want no whiz kid, the next McVay. I don't want somebody trying to be, you just tried to hire a guy that was like the guy that was like the guy that was like the guy, which means ain't none of them like the guy. They're so far removed from the guy, it's pathetic. Okay, really, Brian, good coach, but he wasn't ready for the, he wasn't ready to be a head coach. So I don't want no whiz kids. No, I don't want anybody that's trying to show how smart they are. I want someone that could be a CEO and, like Willie said, a leader of this team. That's what I want, someone with experience. I want to see you've done it. You've had a little success. You've had some failures. But you know what both sides look like. That's why I said give McCoy a shot. Give him a shot. Let's see how this go because he fits that criteria. If a former player hasn't been a head coach, I don't want him. Why? You might as well just hire a first-time head coach again that was an offensive coordinator. I don't – this team, in my opinion, and mine only, this team is too far gone for a first-year head coach. They are, or college. They need someone with experience. That's why I reference Jeff Fisher and him, you know, getting that job or maintaining his job once they moved to L.A. Why? Because he'd been through that before. He understood it. He knew what it was about because he moved from Houston to here as the head coach. So I want a guy that understands what it's like and been there and had some success but had some failures too. It don't need to be all roses, but I don't want a first-time head coach.
So let me ask you this, Derek. Based on all of your criteria, which available coach – meets the most of them?
Mike McCarthy. It's simple. And that's what everything's going to be tied back to because Bridger said it. They have history, he and Brinker.
Yeah.
That's why it's like, let Borgonzi be the guy that says, okay, we're going to hire Brinker. Not mean we're going to hire McCarthy. Not you, Brinker, because you have a history with him or whatnot.
Well, what about Matt Nagy? Matt Nagy has history with Mike Borgonzi from their shared time in Kansas City. Matt Nagy has been a head coach. He's worked with a young quarterback.
He's an offensive coordinator. That's what Matt Nagy is. He excelled at being an offensive coordinator.
How about Arthur Smith?
Arthur is sort of like Nagy.
Okay.
But because Arthur has been in his organization, he understands the owner. That may be a little bit different, but I look at Nagy. You had the first pick in the draft with a quarterback, and you destroyed it, completely destroyed the quarterback. So much so they got rid of you. You were gone, like, quickly. You destroyed that quarterback. People were questioning whether this dude could play in the NFL. Should he been a first-round pick? And you see what Ben Johnson is doing with him. So it wasn't the quarterback. That's the first thing I'm looking at. You had Caleb Williams.
Well, you're confusing Matt Nagy with Matt Eberflus.
Yes. No, Nagy was there last year, and he got fired, didn't he? No, he wasn't. You're right.
It's Nagy Eberflus. Was with Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky, yes. And they still didn't do anything.
Yes.
My fault. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But
Matt's who coached the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Just like Mike's who coached the Tennessee Titans. There are a lot of them.
Well, didn't he have the kid before Caleb?
Mitch Trubisky, yes.
Yes, he had Trubisky.
Yes. So Trubisky was there, didn't have any success.
Nagy did have a winning record in 4 years with the Bears, 34-31. He went 12-4, 8-8, 8-8, 6-11.
So,
in the one real good year where they hit the double doink, missed field goal.
Exactly.
The last play.
And then every year after that, it continued to go downhill.
I would really like, because the person that's going to take this job is going to take over a team that is still maybe not bottomed out yet. That's how bad it is. I don't know what condition Cam Ward's going to be in at the end of the season when this guy takes over. He's going to be, as we mentioned, he's going through a gasoline fire right now. They're trying to keep him from just getting burnt to a crisp, mm-hmm. right? He's going through a tough, tough struggle. It's the worst case scenario. So, and the roster, you're inheriting basically nothing. So it can't just be a whiz kid. Hey, I got this great new offensive scheme for your quarterback. No, it's not that simple. It's going to be a culture thing. So the one that comes to mind for me, and this is not realistic now, but a guy like, and I don't know if there is another guy like this, but a Bill Parcells, when he took over the Patriots, he came out of retirement. The Patriots were like the Titans. They had been an embarrassment for a good while. Between the time that they got blasted by the Bears in the Super Bowl in 85 with the fridge and those guys, they kind of had a decline for a better part of a decade where they were irrelevant for a while. And he came in and he built it back up. And the table was set for Belichick when he came in. And in between that, do you remember who the coach was between Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick? He's still coaching today.
Is he still coaching?
Yeah.
Wow. Not Bill was at Bill Cowher. He was already in Pittsburgh, but he's not coaching anymore. Coaching still head
yeah.
coach?
It's really interesting. Yeah. Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll. I was going to say Pete Carroll, but I don't know why. Wow.
But I mean, so.
But Pete had. But in between that.
Yeah.
Pete had some good years.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. He wasn't bad. They ran him out of there, I guess. Yeah. But. You see what I'm saying? Like this can't just be your run of the mill. Hey, I was the coach before over here, and I had some success, or you know, it didn't work out over here. We had some good times, but this has got to be the right guy. Like this can't be your buddy. Like the Mike McCarthy sounds good. I would like to have seen somebody who's gone through a build before who can really build a culture, because man, they don't have anything to hang their hat on right now. This is a special, special assignment. It's not like D'Amico Ryans, who came in. And they had been through some bad times, but they had the big windfall of draft picks from Deshaun Watson. They hit it big. They drafted a good quarterback. They used a lot of the draft capital. They got Will Anderson. So they had been building for a couple years. They had been bad.
He hit it like Vrabel did.
And he was the right guy, right job. Vrabel is
same
thing. Yeah. And Vrabel's team had already won some. Ryan's, they had not. But this is a team that this is not a team on the verge of winning. That's the problem.
Not a lot of games, anyway.
I mean, because if you get the wrong guy, it's just going to be another. This is where you worry about history repeating or just get into a vicious cycle of, well, they're losing, so let's get the next guy in here. It's got to be somebody who can go through some more bad times and build.
Here is a name who pops up on the text line frequently. Now, it may be the same person texting this name over and over and over again. So I don't know. But it is a name I see a lot on the text line. But he does not meet my criteria. And I don't think he meets Derek's criteria. And that's Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz is currently the Browns defensive coordinator. He has spent multiple stints in the Tennessee Titans organization, so he's familiar with the organization. He's familiar with the Adams family, but he hasn't been a head coach in more than 10 years. He last coached the Detroit Lions in 2013.
And what was unique about the Lions when he
And 17, but they were a building team.
Oh, and 16.
So in 16. Yeah.
They only played 16. Yeah. They probably would have lost to 17.
Lost to 17, too.
If they played 17, they would have lost to 17. But he has been through a build. I do think he definitely has a lot of good things that he's bringing to the table. I like Jim Schwartz. I think he's a good leader. He definitely knows the organization. He loves Nashville. He is a brilliant defensive coach. There's no question about that. And I think that experience in Detroit would serve him very, very well.
So he coached the Lions from 2009 through 2013 when he was 43 through 47. 2-14, 6-10, 10-6, 4-12, 7-9 for a total record of 29-51.
he hasn't been a coach.
The first year, the first year
he
of
hasn't
these
been
guys,
a head coach in 12 years.
No, and that's what I'm getting to. He yes. has not. He's been. There's. I would ask myself, because he's still in the coaching circles.
Yes, he's the DC in Cleveland. Yeah,
he's on his carousel.
He's done a very good job with that defense.
He's. If you want to get your defense straight, you hire guys like him. You know, you hire guys like Schwartz that has been it, that has been proven that he's one of the best defensive minds out there in the last 15, 20, longer than 20. It's been about 20 years. But you got to ask yourself, why hasn't his name been floated around in other head coaching jobs? Not to say that would be like a hard no, but your last coaching job was in 2013. And since then, you have not gotten a sniff, like a real legitimate sniff for a head coaching job.
But he has been part of some very good yeah. teams when he was with Philly.
Exactly.
Was he not the defensive coordinator when they won the Super Bowl?
Yes, he was in
2017. He served as coordinator job, yeah. for the Eagles defense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's been on some winning teams. No, and the other, remember, too, the last mm-hmm. good Titans teams?
Uh-huh.
Remember how bad their defense was in 2020? Like, he came in as a consultant, and it was a very sensitive subject. Mike Vrabel didn't like talking about what Jim Schwartz did. I don't know how that worked. That was an odd thing.
But the Titans didn't even look at him the last go around. So what makes you think that? I understand
because
people
the job
inquiring
is,
about the Titans.
The state
I mean, about
of the
Jim
team.
Schwartz.
The state of the team is different. I'm not saying that he is hands down the number one candidate. I'm saying that is the type of candidate that I think would bring a lot to the table in what this franchise needs.
I understand that. I'm not saying he wouldn't be on my list of individuals. Yeah. But you got to ask yourself, since 2013, why hasn't your name been more prevalent
in
as far as head coaching jobs? Yeah, you can come in here and you can straighten out my defense like nothing else. But people they want you as that. They don't want you as the head coach. And listen, I'm just going by because he's a hell of a defensive, and that's what they're doing now, hiring these, you know, whiz or these brilliant defensive coordinators or offensive coordinators. They're hiring them to be head coaches eventually. So why was it he only got one shot at being a head coach and then nothing after that? That's what I would want to know.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on the Titans coaching search. 615-737-1025. Preds fans, Smashville Live returns tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6. See your Predator star players up close and personal and also get autographs and pictures. The Preds player guests will be Adam Willsby and Tyson Jost. That's tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue and only on 102.5 The Game. D-Mace Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators versus Ducks tonight at 7 o'clock. Pre-game starts at 6 right here on 102.5 The Game. Barry Trotz will join us live at Barrel House at 5 o'clock. But we're talking about the Titans coaching search. And, Derek, you were wondering before the break, we were talking about Jim Schwartz because Jim Schwartz has been a popular name, at least on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, as someone the Titans should interview for their head coaching vacancy. You asked why Jim Schwartz hasn't received more interviews as a head coaching candidate since leaving the Detroit Lions as their head coach more than 10 years ago. Ron says it's because he's not flashy, and the media likes flashy big-name coaches. That's why Schwartz's name hasn't been mentioned. Another texter says Schwartz may not want to be a head coach. He may have stated that in a conversation with someone and it became common knowledge. Not everyone wants the big job. He may just be more comfortable being a defensive coordinator.
That could be part of it. It could be a lot of things, but that would be one of the questions that I would want, some clarity on. Not to say that it would, eliminate him from, potentially being a finalist for the job or getting the job. But you just wonder why, because he's such a brilliant, like, defensive coordinator. He understands the game and looks at the game ways that probably other coaches don't. From a defensive standpoint, there's reasons why the Tennessee Titans brought him in as a consultant, and immediately things started to get better. He goes to Cleveland. Their defense gets immediately better. No matter where he goes, he's going to straighten out the side of the ball that he knows best, and that's defense. So that would be my question. Why? Because, yes, you've been successful in this league, and you've been on some really good teams. You've helped engineer some really good defenses. You've won a championship with a team that had one of the best defenses. So why is it that his name hasn't been, you know, mentioned in at least, you know, let's say the last three coaching cycles?
Hair Middle Henry on our text line, who is also complimenting Willie's tie. Very popular tie that you're wearing, Willie. Says, time for James Franklin to come back home, said someone somewhere, probably.
Probably not.
As Mike Vrabel would say, probably not.
No. Him coming back, nah.
All right, Brad in Whitehouse.
My question is, does James Franklin end up in the SEC somewhere?
I say yes.
Yes. Florida.
Or what if Lane Kiffin leaves for Florida and James Franklin takes over Ole Miss?
Is James Franklin Ole Miss? No. I don't think James Franklin's Ole Miss.
That's a better question for Willie, I think.
I don't know. Yeah. James Franklin wants to win. James Franklin will go and give your program a boost. He will
go
win.
He will.
He will have energy. He's going to go somewhere.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have a job.
He's going to go somewhere, and he'll get paid handsomely for it. And that'll be good for Penn State because it offsets, I think, what they have to pay him.
Yes. Brad in Whitehouse has four names here. Okay. And, Brad, I'm just going to tell you, I am poo-pooing all four of them.
Wow.
They all suck. I do not like any of these, but I'm going to list them anyway. Okay. Number one, John Gruden. You may have heard me, I think it was last week, saying, under no circumstances would I hire John Gruden to be the Titans head coach.
For his coaching or for what happened with Washington?
Well,
or the emails or whatever that got him.
He's suing the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. So they're embroiled in a lawsuit, which I don't know if the Titans want to sign up for that. By the way, another name on Brad's list is Brian Flores, who is also embroiled in a lawsuit with the NFL.
Yeah.
So I think that eliminates the two of them, perhaps. My point with Gruden is, I first of all, his second stint with the Raiders was not impressive. He won the Super Bowl more than 20 years ago. There's all of the things he said in those emails, which I do not like. I think Gruden's standing as a head coach is a bit overrated. I don't really have any other reasons. I just don't love the idea. I don't love the idea. You can disagree if you'd like. Bill Belichick,
Flores was on a staff, right?
He's the Vikings defensive coordinator, isn't he?
Pittsburgh. He was in Pittsburgh. He went to Pittsburgh
for
a minute.
And then he went to the Vikings,
yes,
right?
Okay,
he started running their defense.
Vikings, yeah.
So, I mean, he's coaching in the league. So
he's still coaching.
So, I don't know about the suing the league. I don't know if that prevents him from being a candidate. You could see why it went south in Miami.
Yeah,
they were basically undermining him. I could see why he's suing the league. So, I don't know. Flores is a pretty interesting name to me.
Here's a name I haven't heard.
Uh-huh. But you said Belichick is
Belichick.
One.
Belichick is one. I have stated that if the Titans were to do that, I would quit on the spot. I would quit on the spot. If you're not watching what's happening in Chapel Hill, if you're watching what's happening in Chapel Hill and you think that an NFL team is going to take another shot on Bill Belichick, you are sorely mistaken.
It's the wrong time and team for Belichick. If they were more in a foundation and position to win, I don't see Belichick as a guy that would build it from scratch. You need a builder from scratch here.
And the final name, one I have not heard from Brad in White House, Jack Del Rio. Do you want to know where Jack Del Rio is coaching right now?
Wow. Is he a line coach? Is he a high school?
He is not coaching in the NFL. He is not even coaching in North America.
Wow.
He is the head coach of the Paris Musketeers. That is Paris, France.
Hmm. Okay.
As opposed to Paris, Tennessee?
Yeah.
Or Paris, Texas. That is in the European League of Football.
Okay. Are the rules the same?
That's a good question. It looks like it was built off the ashes of NFL Europe.
Can you give me a little idea about the Paris Musketeer logo? Is it like, does it look like the Buccaneer at all, like for Tampa Bay? Is it an offshoot of it?
It looks kind of like a fleur-de-lis, similar to what the Saints wear on their helmets.
Okay.
It's a nice logo. They have some nice uniforms.
Okay.
But Jack Del Rio is getting paid to coach football in Paris, France. Why give that up?
I was going to say that you may not want to give that up.
Yeah, he may not want to, because at least he may have security over there.
He was a senior advisor for Wisconsin in 2024, and he was the defensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders for several years.
Let's go back to Brian Flores.
Sure.
Because I think him, like McCarthy, but McCarthy has more games up underneath his belt. But I think like McCarthy, in a sense, he went to Miami. And now the stuff that is coming, you know, all this stuff that is coming out, he went to Miami and they were not good. First season, 5-11. Second season, I think they were 10-6, 10-5, somewhere around that, 10-6. And then the third season, it just, everything just, I think they got him out of there early.
Well, remember the story. Last season. There were some things leaked that the owner was actually hoping that they would lose so they could get to it.
Exactly. Right? So, and he went in. And
look how that's worked out for the Miami Dolphins.
He wouldn't tank, basically.
Right.
That's what Flores said. He wouldn't tank. So they went from 5-11 to 10-6. That shows me a guy that was building something there. Like Mike Vrabel, he may fit that mold of, I want to be a leader. I know defense. And I can coach defense if I know, but I have been in this position before. I had a good season. I took over when they were bad. We went 5-11. The very next season, we went 10-6. And then they're asking me to lose on purpose. Like, what is that?
I would be looking
at Flores. I really, from a leadership standpoint, I would be looking at Flores.
I agree.
This is a random text. This has nothing to do with our conversation, but I'm going to read it anyway. One texter says, D-Mace, is it true that Theo Vaughn bought your house? He said that on game day a couple of weeks ago. I never know when to believe that dude.
I don't know if he bought my house or not. How many houses are you talking? Are you talking about my last house?
Well, remember, there is another
Mason.
Another
Derek
Mason. There is another Derek
bought,
Mason.
You know what? Because Coach Mason probably sold his house no more than a year or two ago. I think it was probably him.
You may have the wrong Derek Mason.
I've been living in my house for about 4 years now.
This would just be the latest chapter in there's more than one Derek Mason in Middle Tennessee.
So more than likely it was MTSU's
head coach.
That's Derek Mason, not Derrick Mason. Ron on our text line says, are the Titans looking for a coach who calls plays, or would they want an offensive coordinator to call plays? If so, I would take Byron Leftwich, excuse me, as offensive coordinator. Look what he did in Tampa. Derek does not want a coach who calls plays. On either side of the ball.
But he hasn't been in that position, so that would eliminate him for me.
Well, I don't think Ron is suggesting Leftwich as head coach. Uh-huh. He's suggesting him as an offensive coordinator.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's up to the – I mean, he did have success with Tom, and wasn't he there the first year with Baker, or he stayed a year after Tom, I think, or was it just those 2 years with Tom in Tampa?
But Byron Leftwich was the offensive coordinator for the Buccaneers between 2019 and 2022.
So basically, 2 years with Tom, and then a year it would have been Darnold or Baker. Was it Darnold? No.
They had that weird year.
Yeah, where they were changing quarterbacks.
Right. I don't think they had Baker right away, if I recall. There was a
– But he might have been out
his first draft. His first season in 2019, that would have been Jameis Winston's final season in Tampa. So he had Winston in 2019. He had Brady in 2020 when they won the Super Bowl. He had Brady again in 2021, and he had Brady in 2022.
Okay, it all depends on what they want to run. I mean, you know,
here's the question. Like, I don't know how his X's and O's fit with what Cam is doing now.
Absolutely.
I would for the offensive coordinator position, which is different than the head coach. I would try not to throw a completely different language and different system at Cam Ward if I could help it.
Exactly.
I think that'd be worth thinking about. But again, that doesn't affect who your head coach is. So that's first things first. And I agree. There's this notion, I think, this trend that has been, hey, you gotta hire this great offensive mind for your head coach.
Here's the dilemma they may find themselves in. Say if Bo Hardigree does a good job, like Cam continue to progress, which means McCoy, if that happens, McCoy more than likely he shoots up on the list as far as candidates for your head coach. If you don't hire McCoy, do you say whoever we hire, you got to hire Bo Hardigree? Because this is the offense we want to run?
That's a tough one. I don't know, but I think it would be
because I wouldn't
something
want Bo
would
to be the
discussed.
Head coach. I wouldn't want him to be. No, regardless if he turns Cam around or not, I don't want him to be the head coach.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on the Titans coaching search at 615-737-1025. But coming up next, before the season, Willie asks us 10 Titans questions that he feels will dictate the season. We have yet to review those after 7 weeks, and I'm a little nervous about some of my answers. And we will get to some of those questions and answers coming up next at 615-737-1025. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick is proudly presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com.